The call is now live.
Hi, this is Caroline Fredrickson. I'm the director of the Washington Legislative Office of the American Civil Liberties Union. I'd like to welcome all of you to our teleconference today on the very important subject of the Total Information Awareness Program. I'm here today with Barry Steinhardt, who's the head of the Technology and Liberty Program at the ACLU, Mike German, who is our National Security Policy Council in the Legislative Office, and Jameel Jaffer, who runs the National Security Program in the Legal Department. We are going to speak today about the TIA program and also how it relates to the ongoing debate in Congress about FISA and immunity, and the broader question of the impact of this massive surveillance on American society. Jameel is also available to talk about litigation that we have ongoing regarding the NSA surveillance program. And so let me just start by saying, I think, you know, hopefully all of you have seen the very significant report in the Wall Street Journal on Monday about the reemergence of the Total Information Awareness Program. This was a program that was banned by Congress in 2003 in the Wyden Amendment, and yet it seems to have just gone underground and continued to exist outside of the realm of congressional oversight. I think it's a big and important story for many reasons, but one of them that is something that I've focused on particularly closely is the debate around the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act and efforts by this administration to gain very extensive powers for warrantless wiretapping and to give immunity to the telecom companies. I think that this is yet another indication, along with the variety of stories that have come out about whistleblowers, about the installation of telecom facilities of monitoring systems by the NSA, again, outside of the authority of the law, that really means that Congress needs to pause. We think that while the House leadership has really taken a step forward in the legislation that it's proposing in contrast to the Senate bill endorsed by the President, all of this information would suggest that Congress does not even know what the tip of the iceberg is, let alone what is under the surface of the water. And we think before we let our ship of democracy run aground on an enormous iceberg, Congress really needs to do its thorough oversight, get to the bottom of what are all these variety of programs, how they link together, and really what it means for our society and for our democracy. Before I turn this over to Barry Steinhardt, I would like to mention that this call is being recorded, and that for any of you who have any questions subsequently or at any time, really, that you want to call us, our press line number is 202-675-2312. And with that, I will give the call to Barry Steinhardt.
Thank you, Caroline. I am Barry Steinhardt, director of the ACLU's Technology and Liberty Program. Let me reemphasize what Caroline just said, which is this is a very big deal. And the existence of the NSA's efforts to bring together all the strands of information that all of us leave out there, whether it's telecommunications data or banking data or our credit card records or all the information that we have, into one sort of central hub, is a watershed moment, really, in American history. This is what many of us for a number of years now have both been warning about and worrying about. Let me go back and just remind you that, as Caroline said, the Congress banned, at least we thought they banned, what was then known as the Total Information Awareness Program, or sometimes it was known as the Terrorist Information Awareness Program. And it was a proposal in the Department of Defense to bring together all the strands about us, both government data and commercial data, and to make predictions about whether or not one might be a terrorist or otherwise a lawbreaker or evildoer. The Congress was very clear that they did not want this Orwellian program to proceed. They prohibited it in what's known as the Wyden Amendment. They allowed for some portions of it, carefully controlled portions of it, to be operated as part of the foreign intelligence operations. But it was fairly narrow, and it was certainly not what apparently has existed here, which is that they have, for all intents and purposes, recreated the TIA program, the Terrorist Information Awareness Program, in the NSA, in the Pentagon's black budget, in the Pentagon's intelligence operation. It is nearly identical to the original version of the Total Information Awareness Program. We've done a couple of things here. I want to give you a couple of URLs. One is if you go to ACLU.org/monster, you will be able to see not only the information about the original Total Information Awareness Program and what happened to it, but you will also see a graphic that we have put together that shows how, as described in the Wall Street Journal, how this latest program works. All the data that's being collected here from the communications data as part of this terrorist surveillance program to customer data on communications to NSLs to Carnivore to credit card data to banking data through SWIFT, on and on and on. It's all together apparently all being fed into a central hub at the NSA. We've showed you in a kind of graphic form how that works. Secondly, today we've filed a Freedom of Information Act request with various components of the federal government that are involved in this, and there are multiple components ranging from the NSA itself, obviously to the Treasury Department, to the FBI, on and on, requesting data about how this program now works, the combination of data which is being fed into the NSA works, and more detail about what is being fed into the NSA. Lastly, some of you may recall that we've created what we call the Surveillance Society Clock. This is a clock that signifies just how close we are to the dark midnight of a total surveillance society where every action, every utterance will be tracked, monitored, and correlated. We had originally set that clock at 11:54 p.m., so 6 minutes from midnight, or 23:54 in military time, for any Europeans particularly who are on the call. We've now moved it up to 11:55 or 23:55 because we think this is in fact what we were warning about, which is the convergence of all the data into a central location. Most disturbingly here, we have a central location that operates without any real congressional or public scrutiny or oversight. And I just want to add one more thing before we turn it over to Mike German, which is to reemphasize Caroline's point that Congress really needs to get to the bottom of this, not only as it relates to the ongoing debate about the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, but it was, after all, the Congress in the Wyden Amendment who said you can't do this. Cannot do apparently what the NSA and the federal government have done here, and it seems to us that Congress has an obligation to itself and to the American public to find out whether or not its specific prohibition, which is carried forward in every Defense Department Authorization Act since the original one, whether or not that prohibition has been violated, and take actions to remedy any violation. So. With that, Mike German will speak next.
Hi, this is Mike German, and many of you, I'm sure, know my background. I was with the FBI for 16 years, and basically I just wanted to make a point about the fact that many of these programs are often justified by the administration as counterterrorism methods, when in fact mass data collection is unlikely to help in a counterterrorism mission where you're looking for specific individuals and a very small number of individuals. And, you know, while the Fourth Amendment is there to protect our rights, it's also there to focus law enforcement efforts on people they have reason to believe are actually engaged in wrongdoing. And these sort of mass data collection programs, by removing or ignoring those Fourth Amendment standards, they're increasing the likelihood that they're going to be collecting a lot of irrelevant data, a lot of innocent Americans' communications and data, and that's really going to be counterproductive to locating and identifying real people who are engaged in this conduct, and that's where the government's focus should really be. So that's all I have.
Great. This is Caroline, and we're going to open it up to questions. I just want to add one thing to what Mike said, which is the other potential here and danger is the inevitability of profiling that results and the impact on our rights as a result of that fact. I think you're probably all aware of the ACLU's position on racial profiling, but that definitely comes to play as well in the other types of profiling that can result from the mass aggregation of data, the leading people to be under suspicion for having done nothing wrong. So with that, we'd like to turn it over to questions from our callers. If you could please identify yourself and your outlet, that would be helpful.
Okay. At this time, if you do have a question, please press the number 1 on your phone at this time. Be sure to press only the digit once, one time, or else you will remove yourself from the question queue. And it looks like our first question does come from Ryan Single, Wired.com. Your line is open.
Just a quick question about the FOIAs. People have been looking for this stuff through FOIA for a long time. What is it about your FOIA that, in light of Monday's article, that's going to get at any new information?
Well, of course, what we get is likely to be a result of a long and arduous process. But what we believe is different about this FOIA, and Jamil Jaffer may also want to comment on this, but what we believe is different about this FOIA is we tried to focus in on the specific program, which I guess really doesn't have a name yet, but this TIA Redo, and the way in which the NSA is functioning as a hub here for the collection and redistribution of data to a variety of intelligence, law enforcement, and regulatory bodies. So we tried to sort of focus in on the function now. Hopefully the most recent amendments to the Freedom of Information Act and the Congress will give us a good result.
Let me just add one comment to that.
This is Jamil Jaffer. Ryan, as you know, FOIA, FOIA is a difficult process. There's no certainty that we'll be able to get information about a program like this. On the other hand, I think I should point out that through previous FOIA requests and FOIA litigation, we have been able to get quite a lot of information about the government's use of new surveillance powers. Just a few weeks ago, we released information about the use of national security letters by the Defense Department and the CIA. And I think that information was quite surprising to a lot of people. It was quite surprising to us that those agencies were using national security letters so aggressively. Before that, we were able to get some information about the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court. And prior to that, about the government's use of, the FBI's use of national security letters in Section 215. So it's always a difficult process. It's a resource-intensive process. And we're just beginning it now. But we're hopeful that we'll be able to shed some light on these programs.
Thanks, Jamil.
Other questions?
Okay, next we do have Tanya Snyder, Pacifica Radio. Your line is open.
Hi, yeah. My question is about the TIA program when it was actually active. I don't quite understand how long it was actually in effect, if it was ever in effect or if it was only ever a proposal, and what benefits the NSA says that they got from that program at the time.
Well, this is Barry Steinhardt. The TIA program never went into effect. It was conceptual. It came out of the Defense Department's research arm known as DARPA, and it was stopped by the Congress by the Wyden Amendment, which said it may not go forward. And the language could not have been clearer in the Wyden Amendment. Nor is it, and I say it's been carried forward every year in every Pentagon budget since. So it never went into effect, but what occurred is what we always feared, which is that it would be absorbed into the into the intelligence community here to the NSA, and they apparently have gone ahead and built it anyway. We think in violation of the congressional prohibition, but they apparently have built it anyway. So they've taken Admiral John Poindexter's concept and they've turned it into reality.
Thank you.
Any further questions?
Yes, next we do have Ted Gosch, TR Daily. Your line is open.
Yes, hi. I wanted to know, you know, Carolyn at the beginning was sort of addressing, you know, how this somewhat ties in with FISA and obviously the ongoing debate there. As you all know, it seems that the House Democratic leadership has crafted a draft legislation, a compromise of sorts to move on with the idea that they're going to vote on it tomorrow. Would you, in light of this, story and the depth of this data collection effort, would you like them to halt, or if it does come to a vote, would you encourage those lawmakers to vote it down because you feel that it's important to get to the heart of the depth of how far this TIA-like program is going to?
Well, I think what is very critical is that Congress, regardless of what happens tomorrow, Congress must do a very extensive oversight into the variety of these programs. Our position on the House bill, we are not asking people to vote against it. We don't actually oppose the bill, but we don't support it either. We think the status quo is actually the preferable outcome. The expiration of the Protect America Act was something that actually advanced the protections in our Constitution and did nothing to undermine us, our security. As I think the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee has made very clear in the statement that he sent to the White House. But I think the critical factor here is really that whether the House passes the FISA proposal that they've put together or not, Congress must do some very, very significant research into what has been going on, because I think if you look at the chart that Barry has put together that he pointed you to on our website, you'll see that this FISA information or the Terrorist Surveillance Program information or the PAA information is just one very small piece of this puzzle, and it's all being fed into this massive database program run by the NSA. I think what Congress needs to really get a handle on is the role of the NSA now in doing a very, very deep and involved domestic surveillance, which is far outside of the scope of what its intentions were when it was established. It's supposed to be engaged in foreign surveillance, but it has now become transformed into something that is really focused, at least to a large degree, on Americans and their activities, and I think that is something that Congress needs to get a handle on.
If I may follow up, is there some concern that, you know, if this proposal by the House Democratic leadership was to get through on Thursday, and obviously, you know, it faces a very sketchy future beyond that, but that it might take their eye off the ball on these other things, you know, thus maybe it would be better to sort of have all these issues addressed within one piece of legislation, especially as you mentioned, you know, there are now these allegations of a wireless provider, you know, making its data on its network available to the government as well.
Well, look, I don't think that the House passing this legislation is going to have them take their eye off the ball. The thing that this legislation actually is significant for is that it marks one of the first definitive pushbacks by leadership in Congress on the president, on his fear-mongering and demagoguery. I think that Congress needs to obviously continue to do oversight, to really begin to do, I think, in-depth oversight that has not happened on all these issues. I'm not sure, you know, I could not actually think about what the legislation would be that would encompass every single one of these issues.
Mm-hmm.
I think until Congress understands what every single one of these issues is, what the scope is, and all the different tentacles of this octopus, I think it would be pretty hard to propose one piece of legislation, but that would just be my guess.
Thank you.
Are there further questions?
We do have a follow-up question, and that comes from Ryan Single, Wired.com. Your line is open.
Sorry about that. One last question. Senator Wyden is on the Senate Intelligence Committee, and he's been the one who included the no TIA and no successors thing. But we haven't heard him come out and say that he thinks this is going on. Is your suggestion that the Senate Intelligence Committee is being kept in the dark?
Well, Senator Wyden actually did comment in the. In the original story in the Wall Street Journal, expressing his grave concerns about this. So we certainly are not going to speak for Senator Wyden here, but I don't think it's accurate to say that he has been silent about this. Because as I said, he did specifically there. Senator Wyden said the issue. Senator Wyden pointed out, I think, very helpfully that the administration. Quote, the administration is trying to bring as much of the philosophy of operation, of total information awareness, as it can into the programs they're using today. And he said that the issue was being overshadowed by the fiber or telecom immunity. And he said, quote, there's not been as much discussion in the Congress as there ought to be. So Senator Wyden, I think, has weighed in on this. And you can certainly turn to him for more additional comments.
Thanks, Barry.
Are there any additional questions?
At this time, there are none.
Well, I'd like to, unless anybody wants to ask a question before we conclude, I'd like to thank you all for participating. Mention again that this call will be posted on our website. It has been recorded, and you can always ask any follow-up questions that you want at any time of the day or night. You know we're always reachable, and you can call 202-675-2312. And again, this is Caroline. I would just like to say that this is obviously a very significant matter. It is very closely related to what's going on the Hill and the debate about FISA. I think what is critical here is that Congress is hopefully learning that a great deal of information has been kept secret by this administration, that Congress has not been informed about the extent of surveillance activities, and this administration has actually thumbed its nose at Congress when Congress has tried to put constraints on surveillance programs that ran out of the bounds of what was legal. So it's a red flag. Congress needs to do its job and do significant oversight here and ensure that our Constitution and our basic rights in this country are respected. So thank you very much, and we are always available to answer any further questions. Thank you.
Okay, this officially ends today's call. Everyone have a good day.